Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
And now, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints presents Enduring It Well. We live in a vain and often shallow time when society places an emphasis on the superficial and meaningless. It is all around us, in magazines, on television, on billboards, and the internet. There is great social pressure to fit in, to measure up, to be a certain way. But what if we are different, if we don't fit in? Great strength and power comes to us when we see ourselves as our Father in heaven sees us and strive to live according to His will. From long ago, the Lord's counsel to Samuel the prophet echoes yet today, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Welcome to Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen and this week's guest, former Marine and serious burn victim, Carrie Clarkson.
Commissioned Marine Officer Carrie Clarkson's life suddenly changed when the vehicle he was riding in at his Marine base in North Carolina was broadsided by a civilian in 1986. Carrie remembers hitting the windshield and seeing the ambulance arrive, but little else. What he didn't know was that he had been engulfed in a ball of flame. Rescued from the burning wreckage, Carrie was in a coma for several months, suffering third-degree burns over 50% of his body. After 7 months in a San Antonio, Texas burn center, Carrie was moved to the VA hospital in Salt Lake City, Utah. Despite the long-lasting effects of the accident, Carrie has remained actively engaged in life. This is Carrie's story. Carrie, tell us what happened that day in 1986. What do you remember?
Well, I was the officer of the day there at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. And one of the responsibilities I had was just to make sure the area, the base that I was responsible for, was secure. So we'd have a driver drive me around and check different areas of the base. And we were driving around the base when a civilian that was on the base ran the stop sign and hit the Jeep I was in. Last thing I remember is flying toward the windshield, and I don't know what happened after that. I woke up just in time to see an ambulance backing up to take me away.
What actually happened?
What they told me happened was the car hit the Jeep I was riding in just right, and it knocked the gas cap off the tank. Now, this is the old-fashioned Jeeps, not the new Humvees they have now. And it only takes a quarter turn to knock that cap off. And the car just hit it just right, knocked the cap off. Gasoline splashed into the street. I was thrown into the street with the gasoline. The broken headlight ignited it because it was at night. And they don't know how long I was there burning before some Marines saw the flames and came and put it out, because the lady just went hysterical and my driver was knocked unconscious, but he was thrown onto her car, so he didn't get burned, just banged up pretty good. And so some Marines saw the flames and came over and put them out. And but I was unconscious at that time. I don't remember anything except flying toward the windshield and then when the ambulance was backing up to get me.
So what was their next memory?
I don't have much of a memory after that for about 2.5 months or so. Some vague nightmarish type things, but that's it, about it.
And so 2.5, 3 months later, when you wake up or when you are now conscious, what did they tell you?
Well, I don't remember a lot about what they told me. I remember what my wife told me. She explained to me that I'd been in a serious accident and been hurt really bad and that I'd been burned.
And how burned were you?
It was 48% of my body, but it was all third degree. I wasn't burned on my back because I was laying on my back in the street, so that wasn't burned. And that's why I have so much of my body mass that wasn't burned. And then part of my legs weren't burned. My feet weren't burned because I had boots on. There's a few other spots here and there that weren't burned, mm-hmm. but mostly just because of my back wasn't burned in my feet.
I've been told that a burn is really the most painful thing a person can go through. Did you find that to be true?
I wouldn't recommend it. It's not It's not fun, but you tend to, at least I do, I tend to forget those parts, but I still have some pain.
And how do you get through that pain?
It's worse some days than others, and some days it's hard, and other days it's not hard at all.
And how do you make it so it's not hard at all?
Keep busy. Trying to sleep at night's the hardest. As long as I'm up and doing something, I'm usually okay.
So you're lying there on the ground and you're in flames. You burned your lungs as well. I mean, when you're in that kind of flame, you burned your lungs.
Yes. In fact, they thought that would probably be what would kill me, either that or infection. Mm-hmm. They didn't think I'd survive because of that.
How do you recover from burned lungs?
You have to get all that stuff out of your lungs. It takes time. Mm-hmm. I was on a respirator for a long time. They had to do a tracheotomy on me, mm-hmm. and I had my trach for 3 years. I actually was in law school and still have my trach. Wow. So,
you burn your lungs. They're treating that. What other things were happening to you? Other surgeries? You say you had multiple surgeries. What other things did they do?
Well, first of all, they had to clean all the dead flesh away. Mm-hmm. And that probably was the hardest, most painful part of the process. They would take these, the nurses would take these scrub brushes and just scrub the dead skin away. And then some parts I was burned so deeply, they actually had to surgically carve away the dead flesh.
And this is done, you're in a burn unit in San Antonio, is that right?
That's right. After they took me to the hospital there at Camp Lejeune, they transported me to the burn center in San Antonio, Texas.
Where were you spiritually during this time?
Well, when most of this was occurring, I was heavily sedated. So I really don't remember a lot of this. Mm-hmm. When I started becoming more aware of it, I remember crying with the nurses. She would scrub away. The nurses had to be rotated in and out of the burn unit because it's not a easy task for them. But most of this, I was not really aware of a lot was going on because I was so heavily sedated.
So let's look back at it a minute. As you're looking at that accident, how did it change your life?
Well, it definitely changed the direction and focus for me. I think it gave me perspective that I otherwise would not have gotten. And it definitely changed my direction of life. I obviously was no longer in the Marine Corps, and I love the Marine Corps.
Recognizing your life has changed now, and you're even in the process of it changing. You don't know exactly what's coming in your future, but you know it's painful. You've got some road to recovery. Again, I ask, where do you think you were spiritually? How were you getting through that? You know, knowing who you were, why you're here, and where you're going.
I think I had been well prepared to face the challenge that had come my way. My parents had taught me how to pray. They taught me who I was. I had had experiences in my life that helped me know that God was there, and even though there's challenges in life, He's going to be there for you and help you face them.
How valuable was that to you?
I don't know how you take on challenges like this without that knowledge. I don't know how I could have possibly done it without that anchor, because that's what held me together. That's what gave me the vision to go forward. Obviously, I had a lot of time to think. Most of the time, I couldn't see anything, and I couldn't talk, then I couldn't go anywhere or do anything. I just laid there, and so I had a lot of time to think, and the things I would reflect upon, and something that really came to mean a lot to me, actually, is a scripture in the Book of Mormon. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And I reflected on that quite a bit, and came to realize that that scripture didn't have any caveats on it. Men are that they might have joy. So my challenge became, how do I have that joy then? And as I reflected upon my experiences of the past, I found that the joy was in the gospel. The joy was in my family. The joy was in the things that I still had. And especially the joy was in knowing I had a Heavenly Father who loved me and knew me. That's what helped sustain me.
So, Carrie, here you are. You're kind of teetering. You're in this paused moment of your life. As you became more and more aware of what you were going through, was there a mourning? Was there a loss of a previous life? Was there something that you looked at and said, I've lost that. That's no longer part of my life?
Well, I used to be quite active physically, and I've always missed that from the very beginning. But I still can get around and do pretty good now.
So you've adapted then. Obviously, it was something that you used to do, and now you couldn't do it anymore. How did you adapt?
Just by trial and error. You just do something I actually learned from my wife. There was a psychologist, I think, there that was there to help families deal with the situations that they were going through. And this psychologist, he felt it was his responsibility to help families prepare for the worst. And they really didn't expect me to pull through. And so he took it upon himself to try to convince her that she was going to lose me. And she didn't think so. And so they didn't get along very well. One day she got so frustrated with him that she went to him and explained to him why she felt the way she did. She talked about the priesthood blessing I'd been given and she'd been given. She talked about the things we believed in, our temple marriage. Just said, I know he's going to be okay. And if it's not, we're married forever. She said he left her alone after that. But she remembers when she finally could go in and say, see, I told you so.
That's a great example, though, of, you know, standing bold where you are. So right along with that, you mentioned you were physical and of course, being a Marine, Marines are known for being tough. Was there ever a moment that you went through that you can think of where things were so hard that it was hard to be a tough Marine?
There's still moments like that. One thing to face a difficult challenge that lasts a moment. It's another to face it constantly over time. And I tend to get tired at times and get worn down. And I just need some time to rest up, so to speak, and get going again.
When you say that, are you meaning physically or emotionally, spiritually, or both?
Physically and emotionally. And I think we all have times where we're up and down spiritually as well.
So when you get in those moments, what do you do?
That's where I focus on what helped me get through initially, and that's remembering who I am and that my Heavenly Father's mindful of me. And what I've found is that He's always there. He always gives us what we need. Sometimes we feel pretty pressed, but we always get what we need no matter what the circumstances, and that's what I've found to be true over and over again.
So it's been said that trials and indeed life can be like a fiery furnace, so to speak. We all know the analogy. The furnace is stoked so hot that the steel is forged. In that heat, the impurities are burned out, and eventually only the purest elements remain, making that steel stronger. This fire of yours, I can't even imagine. I've tried in preparation of this, I've tried to put myself in your shoes, and I just admire you. I don't know how one could do this other than what you just said, that you know who you are and you know that your Father in heaven is aware of who you are. In total, looking back at the whole thing, what was the hardest thing?
I think the hardest thing for me was the reaction of my little girl, what the reaction of my little girl would be. She's only 11 months old at the time I got hurt. And I was quite concerned about how she might react when she saw me. But she recognized me right away and ran right up. And there was no concern or problem whatsoever with her, which gave me great comfort. I think it's one of those sweet blessings that the Lord gives us.
A tender mercy.
Exactly.
What did you see when you first saw yourself? How was that?
Well, my wife tried to warn me, but it still was worse than I had expected. But at the same time, again, I think my Heavenly Father just helped me deal with it. My concern was more how people would react to me versus what I saw in the mirror.
But you know inside who you are, correct?
Yes.
How did that fiery furnace of yours, that hardest moment, bless your life?
Well, actually, what happened to help me with this is, first of all, the incident with my daughter, where she recognized me, knew me, and it wasn't an issue for her. But also, as I prepared to leave the hospital for the first time, they were willing to let me go out for a few hours at a time there at the beginning. And as I prepared to leave for the first time to actually go get some real food, I was quite concerned about what might happen as I went out. And as I thought about that, something came into my mind that has meant a lot to me and has helped me through this. And that is simply, what came into my mind was, I needed to be the one to extend myself, to be friendly and outgoing. And if I did that, everything would be okay. So as we went out to this restaurant, we went to a pizza hut to eat some pizza. And the waiter gave menus to everybody except for me, and he still had some in his hand. And I simply asked him if I could have a menu, and we started to talk. And after that, it was great. In fact, sometimes I think I get treated better than I otherwise would be treated. So that's that thought that came into mind that I know came from a loving Heavenly Father is what helps me as I go forward.
So you found that being proactive and helping people understand that you're okay who you are and you're confident and you know who you are helps cross that uncomfortable feeling.
I do, and I've come to know that people are uncomfortable simply because they don't know what to do or say. So if I can help them understand that it's okay to just do what they always do, then it works out just great. I've really not ran across a situation where it hasn't worked out well for me. People have been very accepting once they get a little bit more comfortable. I've scared a few people when they first run into me, but it's all worked out well. Knowing and understanding who you are helps with, I can't think of a situation it doesn't help you with. I wish more people understood their true value and their true nature.
As you look back at it, surviving the accident, recovering from the surgeries, these were all huge milestones. Do you remember somewhere along the way where you and your wife looked at each other, you just had that feeling that you had turned the corner, that this was a stumbling block, but you were going to survive it, and you were going forward with courage?
There's a couple things that milestones that occurred, and one was when I finally was able to solo again, meaning walk again by myself. I started by being just standing up with two or three nurses holding on to me. And then I'd stand up and then turn around and sit back down and then stand up, turn around, walk two or three steps, go back. And graduated from three nurses down to two and then to one. But to finally be able to walk again on my own was, to me, a milestone for me. Being able to feed myself again, just little things like that.
Things we take for granted.
You don't consider them as valuable when you have them as when you don't have them.
Sitting here across from you, I see this wonderful man who's has some scars on his face, some reconstruction, some clear evidence of a painful moment, wounds. Among the other injuries you've had is you've lost parts of your hands through surgeries. They've had to remove different parts of that. And our hands are so important to our daily living. You had to learn to use that again. You had to learn how to feed yourself again.
Hands are very useful. And it took me a long time to learn to do things again with my hands. And again, it's the small things. Started by being able to feed myself. I used to have a spoon that was like 3 feet long with a bend in the middle because I couldn't bend my elbows. And I learned to manipulate that spoon to feed myself. I started to write first with my left hand. So I learned to write left-handed because my left hand is, I have more fingers and better use of my fingers on my left hand than I do my right hand. So I learned to write first left-handed before I started to write right-handed. And but I've gradually been able to do most everything. I've not been able to conquer without help with a device, my top button on my shirts.
We live in a vain society where image, looks, and visual self-worth is highly regarded. You survived physical trauma, but now we're faced with the emotional trauma associated with those burns. And yet, you have this wonderful attitude where you looked at it and said, hey, this is me, I'm moving forward, what can I do? There wasn't a lot of mourning for the past. What did you learn about Carrie, the eternal Carrie, the deep Carrie, the below the skin surface that has been marred from this injury? What did you learn about Carrie, and what do you know about Carrie now?
I don't know how much I learned necessarily about me. I view it more as what I learned about my Heavenly Father, because that's where I draw my strength from. That's where my knowledge comes that I can face whatever's given to me, and I know He'll be there to help me make it through. And I also know the reason for it, the plan behind it, that it's for my benefit. And to make it work, all I have to do is agree to the plan and go forward, and He'll be there supporting me and helping me. That's what I really learned. That's what is the lesson, or what I've learned most from the experience, I think.
So looking at the reflection of you now, and yet reflecting upon the eternal you, what do you understand now that you may not have understood before about the divine nature of our lives here and why we're here and what we're doing?
Well, there's an experience I had in the Marine Corps. It's called the Officers' Candidate School. And it's a number of weeks during the summer that I went there when I was in the ROTC in college. And they try to make it a miserable experience for you. And they do a pretty good job of doing that. And the challenge is just to press you to see how you react under pressure. And what I learned from that situation is that I knew what the purpose of it was. I knew it was a test. I knew it was for 3 months or whatever the length of time was. I don't remember. And I knew the purpose was to help me be stronger and help me become a Marine Corps officer. Knowing that, it was easy to play the game. It was easy to be there. I knew it was easier to put up with the difficult nature of the training. I think life's a lot like that. And that's what I've come to realize, is that you understand what life's about. You understand that it's kind of like Officers' Candidate School. It's kind of a test, a training to help us become better, help us become much more than we ever could think we could become ourselves, and help us become something that we wouldn't become without the challenges that life throws everyone.
So this analogy of the fiery furnace, what I hear you saying is there's a purpose for it to be hot, forging a stronger steel, putting us through that. And when we understand that this life is a testing ground, a proving ground, we can get the most out of it.
That's what I've come to realize through my experience.
Given what you just said about how you understood your nature, the nature of this experience and this officer's training, if you will, that we're going through here on this earth, how has that helped you to understand what others are going through?
Well, one thing that I've come to appreciate more is that no matter who we are, we all have trials to face. Everybody's got them. Some people seem to hide them well. Others are, like me, are more visible. But everyone has them, because everybody's going through the trial of this life. The training, as we spoke about, gives me a desire to share with them what I found to be helpful to me. And that is to let them know that they are indeed a child of God, and He loves them just like He loves me, and will bless them as He blesses me.
How valuable is it for you to help others?
Well, that's what I enjoy most.
Surely, when any of us are going through things, there are those moments of self-doubt or we may find ourselves saying, this is more than I can handle. People go through those different kinds of feelings. How do we combat those destructive, defeating thoughts?
What I do and what's worked for me ever since the very beginning is reflecting back on the experiences I've had. Because then I know that I'll get what I need to make it through. I know it doesn't mean that I'm not going to struggle. I'm not going to have those doubts or moments of weakness. But I know that my Heavenly Father will bless me with what I need when I need it to help see me through. Journal keeping or writing in a diary where you record those moments where you have those blessings come into your life and you recognize them and realize it, to write them down at that time. So when you do have those moments where it's hard, you can go back and reflect on that and realize that, yes, I had a tough time in the past, and yes, I got the blessing I needed when I needed it to make it through. And I find that to be what helps me.
People listening to this program today have no idea. None of us have any idea what you've gone through. We can try to imagine what you've gone through, but there were your loved ones around you who were living it moment by moment. And in many instances, I'm sure the clock stood still for them. Most important in that whole process, other than your father in heaven, was certainly your wife. What feelings do you have towards your wife for her strength and her caring? You just mentioned how important it is to show someone you cared. Clearly, your wife showed you that.
She definitely did. In fact, at a burn unit, you're not allowed to visit very much. Only certain hours. I think it was like 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon. But my wife was always like clockwork. The nurses knew when she showed up that it was visiting time, and she'd stay the whole time, and she was always there for me.
What did that mean to you?
It's hard to describe how important that kind of support and love is. I think she has had the harder role, actually, than I have had in facing the challenges of our life. I have not the words to express my appreciation to her for all she's done and continues to do for me.
How blessed is Carrie?
Incredibly blessed. More than I'm worthy of, I'm sure.
What's the greatest lesson you learned?
Knowing that my Heavenly Father will give me what I need to face whatever I face. The other thing I've taken from this is to be proactive, whether it be in greeting people and extending myself that way, or just being supportive and helpful to others around me. Because that's where you find the most happiness, and that's where you find the ability to forget about your own aches and pains, so to speak, and your own trials.
Was it worth the price you had to pay to get that?
No question. In fact, I remember at the time going through my mind, do I go out and make the rounds, or do I just stay in the office? And I went back and forth. I don't need to. My staff sergeant said he'd take care of it. I reached the conclusion that it was my duty. I feel the same way. Leave it in my Father's hands to give me the trials I need to become who He would have me be, and to trust in Him to give me those challenges and help see me through them. And so I think I'd have the same answer. Now I would go do my duty.
To do it again.
Exactly.
Thank you, Carrie, for sharing your story with us today on Enduring It Well. And thank you, listeners, for spending this time with us. On a personal note, I have often felt in my life the refiner's fire of adversity getting hotter. Being stoked so hot, I wondered how I could possibly survive the heat. Looking back now, I can see growth. Like Carrie, I have marveled at how the heat seemed to teach me in a way nothing else could. When you find yourself in the refiner's fire, know that you are not alone. Remember in the Old Testament the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel? They were thrown into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar because they would not worship his idols. After the furnace had burned for an extended period of time, the king and his men looked into the furnace only to find that the three were still alive, and a fourth figure could be seen with them in the furnace, and they were not destroyed. I am certain that likewise you will find in your time of most need, in the moment your flames are at their hottest, you are not alone. Heaven is near you in the heat of the moment and always. Join me again next time for another inspiring story on Enduring It Well.
This has been Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.